been a time to do that. But we're going to talk tonight about something that's critically important, and the later books in the New Testament deal with this a lot. So 2 Peter deals with it a lot, 2 Timothy deals with it a lot, Jude, and of course 2 and 3 John especially are some of those books that kind of delve into this. And what we're going to talk about tonight is false teachers. And Peter is going to give a warning about those false teachers. And I hope that we can learn something about that tonight. If you're able, let's stand together. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get into the Word. Y'all ready?
Ready.
All right, ready or not, here we go. I'm going to ask Brother Philip, if you would, to voice a prayer for us, and then we'll read the Scripture. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3 to get started tonight. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbers not. Amen. Please be seated. Here's Peter's warning, as we've already seen the fact that he's coming towards the end of his life. And he knows that his time is drawing near, just like the Apostle Paul wrote. In 2 Timothy, he said, the time of my departure is at hand. We know Peter also knew that his time of death was near. And as he's warning the saints all over the world, he's trying to tell them that they need to live for Jesus and stay faithful to him to the end. He's warning them that false teachers are coming. He said there were false prophets in the Old Covenant. And you can read the Old Testament and you can see that there were false prophets. I've been reading to Jeremiah lately, and Jeremiah went up against false prophets all the time. Now, we're not talking about false prophets of false gods like the prophets of Baal. We're talking about people who stood up in Jerusalem and said, thus saith the Lord, but they didn't have a message from God. They had another spirit, and they preached lies and falsehoods, and Jeremiah was a man of God who stood against that. And so there were false prophets in that day, and here he says, and there will be false teachers among you. And so he's warning them. False teachers were coming. They are going to come. And I'm here to tell you tonight that false teachers are still here today.
Amen.
There are still false teachers in the church, in churches, and around the world today. And so there's a certainty about it. They were certainly coming. He said, there shall be. He didn't say there could be or there might be. He said, you can be sure that false teachers are coming. It was a certainty. Not only was it certainly, it was secretly. He said, privately shall they bring in these damnable heresies. And that phrase, bringing in privately, means to introduce secretly. It literally has the idea of smuggling something in alongside, okay? So the idea of smuggling something, so you try to sneak it in with somebody else. And I don't know if you've ever seen any of those stories. People do crazy stuff to sneak stuff or try to sneak stuff through, like an airport, right?
Amen.
They'll just try to sneak it alongside. I've seen so many times they'll try to smuggle stuff with a baby because they think, well, the security guards aren't going to mess with the baby. It's a baby. Babies are sweet. They're innocent. They're clean. They're pure. And so they'll try to put their paraphernalia, their drugs, or whatever with the baby. And so the idea is you've got something good and pure, and you're going to smuggle something evil in with it. And that's the picture that we have here, that they're going to bring this stuff in secretly. In other words, Satan doesn't come to the front door of the church and say, hey, I've got some lies for you.
Amen.
Right? This is not the way he works. He's transformed into an angel of light. He's gonna look and sound. And if it weren't for the Spirit of God in the saints, then they would be deceived too.
Right.
And listen, It's crazy how we look at other people and say, well, those people are deceived, not ever realizing that we could be deceived too.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
You need to get this. Why would the apostles warn us of false teachers if there's not a chance that we could be led astray by false teachers?
Amen.
Like, if there's no chance you could ever be led astray by a false teacher, then the apostles would just be silent on them. It doesn't matter. They might come and spread lies, but nobody's ever going to fall for those lies, so I don't even need to tell anybody. No, they warn us because we could be led astray. You could buy the lie. And they're going to come in secretly. They're going to be sneaky. They're going to come in with some truth. They're going to come in with some true teachers. They're going to come in with this false teaching in a way that's secret. And I want you to notice that it's not only secretly, but it's destructively. It's destructively. These are damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Help me out real quick. What happens to somebody who denies Jesus? Ultimately, what happens to those who deny Christ? They're going to end up in the lake of fire. They're going to end up separated from God and everything good forever and ever and ever. And so these false teachers, it's not just, it's just that guy on the TV. You know, he just spouts nonsense and everybody knows it. No, it's not just that, friends. Listen to me. There are false teachers who have churches filled with thousands of people.
Amen.
And they're not just preaching stupid stuff to get rich, but they're actually spreading damnable heresies.
Amen. Amen.
And they deny the Lord that bought them. And so we're talking about destructive teachers. And then not only is it certainly secretly destructively, but it's also blasphemously. The way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Have you ever in your life, have you ever tried to witness to somebody that's not in church? Just raise your hand if you've ever done that in your whole life. You've tried to witness somebody. Have you ever had somebody who is kind of against church, or they'll say things like, I'm against organized religion? Have you ever heard that? Never heard that one before, have you? Okay. They're against church. They're against organized religion. They have stories. They'll tell you about some pastor somewhere or some deacon somewhere that did this or that or the other. Or I saw another one on TV the other day that did this. Or I saw this on social media. They look at people who are supposed to be representing Jesus who don't even know Jesus.
Amen.
And they let those false teachers turn them away from Jesus. And so what happens is the way of truth is blasphemed. That's this phrase, evil spoken of, is literally the Greek word blasphemio that we get blasphemy from. They cause people to blaspheme the way of truth because of their wickedness and their evil. So false teachers are deadly dangerous. They're deadly dangerous. And they not only do it blasphemously, but they do it fraudulently. It's through covetousness and with feigned words. Verse 3, through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you.
Amen.
Okay, just real quick. You guys ever flip through the stage? I don't know, people don't do this much anymore, but anybody ever seen those guys on TV? Televangelist? Have you ever seen the guy sitting behind the desk and he's like, if you'll just send in your $10, the Lord will give you $100. Or send in $100 and we'll give you this little hanky that somebody sneezed on. Have you seen that stuff?
Amen.
You guys know what I'm talking about? Okay, listen, I don't know that you see that stuff anymore, and it used to be really big on TV. Now we have social media, so now they have YouTube channels and Instagram channels and all the rest of that, so they have other ways to get stuff out there. But listen, they make merchandise of people.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means that these false teachers are after money. That's what they're after, dirty money. Filthy lucre is what the King James calls it. Filthy lucre, dirty money. They're greedy. They're after gain. They're just trying to get people's money. So when I meet people and they say, I don't want to go to church, every time I go to church, those preachers are just after money. It's all they care about, money, money, money. Well, yeah, some of the guys they've been watching on TV, that's probably true. But it's not true of somebody who's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not true of true teachers and true pastors and teachers of the gospel. Listen, you've read the story. If you've read about the life of the Apostle Paul, just go home and read the book of Acts, and you're going to find out that he really wasn't in it for the money.
Amen.
He wasn't in it for the comfort. We're talking to Peter's writing this letter, friends. Peter, history tells us, was crucified upside down.
Amen.
Because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified upside right like his Savior was. He literally died for Jesus Christ. He wasn't after comfort. He wasn't after money. He wasn't after fame. He was just trying to be faithful to the gospel. But false teachers are different. They do what they do fraudulently. So there's definitely going to be false teachers. They're going to come secretly, destructively. They're going to cause blasphemy, and they're going to do everything they do fraudulently. It's feigned. It's not true. It's a lie. It's a lie. Number two, false teachers will be judged. Look at verse 4. Verses 4 through 10. False teachers will be judged. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot. By the way, that's not Lot alone, but that's calling Lot just, righteous Lot, okay? And delivering righteous Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the ungodly, to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. I want to tell you that these false teachers, judgment is going to come. You look back at verse 3, through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. What does that mean? It means judgment is definitely coming by God. And you say, well, man, it seems like these guys are just prospering. I mean, you're talking about false teachers have jets and mansions and all kinds of stuff. But listen, friends, judgment is coming. So he gives some examples. God did not, verse 4, spare the angels that sinned. Now, I don't know if everybody in here cares about that stuff, but a lot of us really get interested in angels and demons and all the rest of it. We want to try to understand how all that stuff works. The Bible gives us little snapshots here and there where he opens the veil, he opens the curtain, allows us to see into the spiritual realm. And there's some things that we do know. We know that Satan, Lucifer, was a powerful angel, a beautiful angel, a very apparently high-ranking angel in heaven who exalted himself and wanted to be above God and was cast out of heaven. And the Bible teaches that he took a third of the angels with him when he left. Now, I don't understand all about that. I just know this. From everything I can understand in Scripture, when those angels made that decision, it was a full and final decision. Amen. That somewhere in history, God gave the angels one chance. You choose me or you choose Lucifer. And when you made that choice, it was full and final. Amen. That's my understanding. You can study it out on your own. But those angels departed, and when they made that decision, their damnation was settled. Amen. God created hell for the devil and his angels. And it has enlarged itself. It has enlarged itself to make room for those who reject Christ. Amen. Okay? So they made their choice, and God did not spare them when they sinned and made their choice. Their fate is sealed. So those angels that departed with Lucifer, they will end up in the lake of fire. Amen. They are chained up unto everlasting damnation. In verse 5, God did not spare the world that sinned against him in Noah's day. And you can go back and read about it in the book of Genesis, and you can see that God looked at the earth, and every thought of the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. The whole world had turned against God. The whole world had embraced sin. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives were the only ones, 8 people out of the entire population of the planet, only 8 people were saved alive in the ark because only 8 people found grace in the eyes of God because only 8 people believed. Only 8 people believed. And everyone else perished. Everything that had breath on the earth died in the flood. Amen. Everything. Now, I know some of you might be a little skeptical, and like, you actually believe in a worldwide flood? And let me, I'm going to make this as plain as I can. Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. And I'm amazed that anybody doesn't. They find sea life fossils on top of Mount Everest. We're talking about a mountain that's 33 or 32,000 feet tall, and there's marine life fossils at that height. Now, my understanding is that the world was covered with the flood, and a lot of the mountains were formed after the flood. That's how they got up there. But I just want you to know that there was a flood that destroyed every living thing, and God didn't spare them. Okay? What's he illustrating here? Judgment is coming for the false teachers. And you might not see it now, but guess what? The world didn't see it in Noah's day either, but judgment came. And then he gives us in verses 6 through 8, God did not spare the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. We learn a lot about Lot here. How many of you have you ever read about Lot in the Old Testament? Like, you just read about him in the Old Testament part of the Bible? I don't know if you've ever done that and paid attention, but I promise you this. If I didn't have the New Testament, I would never believe that Lot was a saved man. Never. When he had a choice to make, Uncle Abraham said, "You pick your way and I'll pick my way. You just decide and I'll go the other way." He pitched his tent towards Sodom, and then he went there, and the next thing you know, he's sitting in the gate of the city. The next thing you know, when he's talking about God, he seems like a mocker. But the Bible tells us here he was a just man. He was righteous. And that he vexed his righteous soul in seeing and hearing the things that were going on around him. Amen. And it's hard for us to understand sometimes. Christians today are like, how could Lot do that? How could he stay in that wicked environment? And I just want to ask you a question. How can we let that wicked environment into our lives? Like, some of you are like, I would never, ever go to Vegas. Like, I if I was going that way, I'd just drive around it. But you'll bring all kinds of stuff into your living room on the TV that are just as bad or worse. You'll scroll through your phone or some other device, and stuff comes on there that's just as bad or worse. So I'm just telling you that Lot would vex himself with those wicked things. But when judgment came, God did not spare those cities.
Amen.
The cities of the plain were wiped out by the wrath of God. He literally rained down wrath from heaven. And then in verse 9, he says, "The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." And so these false teachers will be judged.
Amen.
I want to tell you next, and I don't know how far we'll get through this, but number 3, false teachers must be marked and avoided.
Amen.
Romans chapter 16, Romans 16, 17. Romans 16, 17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Here in Romans 16, he's warning about these false teachers who cause division. They're not just teaching false things. They're causing division and offenses that are contrary to the truth. And he said, I want you to mark those false teachers. I want you to mark those who cause division. I want you to avoid them. Stay away from them. Okay? Why? Because they do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They're not serving Jesus. They're serving their own belly. What does that mean? It means they're in it for what they can get out of it.
Amen.
And if you think there aren't people in the world today who look at Christianity and say, man, that's a gimmick to get into. I mean, you just get up and you give a fair speech and you say some pretty words and you pass a plate and people put money into it. And you could take that money and put it in your pockets. Like, that's a gig. Like, I ought to get into that. But there are people who do that every month, every year, every day around the world. He says these people are not in it for Jesus. They don't serve Christ. They're in it for their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple people who don't know. And so he says, I've heard about your obedience everywhere, and I'm glad, but I want you to be wise to that which is good. And I want you to be simple concerning evil. So what happens if I'm wise unto that which is good? Well, if I'm wise unto that which is good, and I'm flipping through YouTube videos, and some false teacher comes on there, I'm going to recognize that he's not teaching the truth because I'm wise unto that which is good. We learn the truth so we can recognize the counterfeit. Learn the truth so you can recognize the counterfeit. These false teachers have to be marked and avoided. I want you to know that their character exposes them. Jesus says in Luke 6:43, a good tree brings not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. And he says that a tree is known by its fruit. And false teachers are going to be known ultimately by the fruit of their lives. What's he tell us about here? In verses 10 through 14, he says they walk after the flesh. They walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. These men are completely dominated by the desires of their flesh. That's what drives them. That's what moves them. Their God is their belly. And so they are walking after the flesh, not after the spirit. What does that mean? It means they are living in continual, habitual patterns of sin, and eventually it's going to come out. Amen. They may hide it for a while, but eventually it's going to come out, and their fruit's going to be exposed for what it is, rotten. They despise government. We have the word government there. What it means is authority. And here's what these people are in their heart. They reject all God-given authority in their lives. They reject all and any form of God-given authority in their life. They don't want any authority. They don't want a church telling them what to do. They don't want the government telling them what to do. They don't want anybody telling them. They want to be the one who is in control of everything. They don't want God on the throne of their life. They want to be on the throne of their life. They despise governments. They're presumptuous and self-willed. They're proud and they're stubborn. They're proud and they're stubborn. And they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. This idea of speaking evil of dignities just means that they're irreverent. I'm not sure, just to be completely honest. I don't know exactly what he means by this, dignities. It means they're irreverent. They don't show respect for people and things that they should show respect for. But it may really be focused on spiritual things. In other words, they're not afraid to talk bad about God, about Jesus, or about the angels, the holy angels. They'll run down anything and everything that they should be afraid to run down. Okay? They're irreverent. They're loud. They're careless. Their doctrine destroys them. Verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of who a man is overcome, the same is he brought into bondage. Their doctrine destroys them. Their teachings are false. Like Balaam, who loved money. Balaam loved money more than he wanted to obey God. And their wells, verse 17, without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. What's that? Wells without water, clouds carried with the tempest. In other words, they look like they're something, but they're empty. You go to them and you think, man, that's a man of God who's going to draw deep from the well and he's going to give me living water, but there's nothing in the well. You're a dry and thirsty land, a desert, and you see clouds coming and you think, oh, finally, rain's going to come and give us life. It's going to be good, but they're just blown away. There's nothing in them. And that's the picture that God's word gives us of false teachers. They promise these things. Verse 18, when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through wantonness, those who were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. In other words, these people are living in sin, and they find people who are newly saved, who have just escaped out of the world, and they go and they lead them astray with their tempting words. Somebody who had just been set free, they bring them back into bondage. Because they're serving corruption, because they're enslaved by their sin as well. Verse 20 says, for if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. What does that mean? Here's what I'm going to tell you what I believe this means. And we're going to wrap it up tonight. Lord willing, not next week, because Tuesday is going to be our Thanksgiving night of worship, but the week after that, I'm going to give you seven marks of false teachers from the scriptures, seven ways to identify false teachers in the world today, and I think we need that. I think we need to be able to do that. But for now, just get this. These are not people who were saved and then became unsaved. You know how I know? Because you can't be saved and then become unsaved. Amen. When you trust in Jesus, he gives you everlasting life. Amen. So these aren't people who possess eternal life. They're people who profess something, but it's not real. Amen. It's not. These are not genuinely saved people. These are apostates. And I know that word gets thrown around a lot. An apostate is not somebody who was saved and then left the faith. It's somebody who looks saved, but they never were saved. Okay? An apostate is somebody who abandons the faith because they never had salvation in the first place. So it would have been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness and after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Man, if that doesn't get a picture in your mind, I mean, let me just be gross for a second. Have any of you guys ever seen your dog eat its own puke? Dogs are gross. And you know what it's like for somebody who hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, who comes right up to the door, but they never truly trust in him? When they make a decision to turn away from him, it is far worse for them in the end. Amen. They came so near, so close to eternal life, and they reject him. Amen. And it is worse than a dog eating its own vomit. It's worse than the hog going back to the mire. It's worse than anything you could imagine. So I want to tell you tonight, don't come really close to Jesus. Come all the way to Jesus. Amen. Don't think a little bit about Jesus. Trust in him with all your heart. I mean, abandon everything and put all your hope in Jesus, because there's no hope without Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the warning you give us against false teachers. And I know we covered a lot tonight, and I just pray that you'll allow us to meditate on these things, to study them on our own, and to look into the scriptures so that we can see and be warned of false teachers. Lord, I pray that you'll help all of us to know that we have eternal life. You've given us your word so that those who believe in Jesus can know that we have eternal life and that we can continue believing in Jesus. And I pray that you would just strengthen our hearts with assurance if our faith is in Jesus. And if anybody here tonight, or anybody watching online, has never been born again, they've never truly repented and trusted in Jesus, they've never been soundly saved, I pray that even now, even in this moment, they would pray that they would turn away from their sin and unbelief in repentance, and in faith, they would trust with all their heart in Jesus who died for us and rose again. The Lord who died for us, that you would help us to trust in you. And Lord, help all of us to make whatever decisions we need to, that we can continue living our lives for the one who died for us and rose again. Forgive our sin and be with us. Help us in all that we do. And Lord, we are thankful for your great and many blessings. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.